Welcome to the Gentleman's Atlas podcast. I'm your host, Isaac, and on this podcast, we aim to bring you open and authentic conversations and give you the resources to become the hero of your own story. Whether it's a solo session or featuring a special guest, I appreciate your time. Let's get right into today's episode. And all right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Gentleman's Atlas podcast. Thank you all for joining me once again. And let's get right into today's episode. So today is the first of the Tuesday condensed style solo episodes. So again, it's shorter, giving you as much information in as little time as possible. Got a message the other day and want to talk a bit about investing and finances. So again, with the market, with everything that's going on with the war in Ukraine and overall hyperinflation, gas prices, oil, the volatility of the market's been really high, and you have to understand that you need to keep a straight mind. So first, in investing for anyone, you have to be able to take away the emotions and stick to a plan. Traders have the same saying, trade your plan and plan your trade, right? You have to go in there with a certain mindset. Now, here's the thing. Time in the market will always beat timing the market. So you have to have that strategy of that buy and hold. Right now, if you're not in, if you're able to stomach risk, you get in, right? Because right now everything's discounted. Now, if you're someone that's already in, now is not the time to sell. Now is the time to hold and realize that the market always goes back up. So the three investing things that I want to talk about today is, first, when you're investing, you have to always disassociate the emotions and invest with logic, with reason, and be able to stick to the plan. You're not about to improvise. You're not trying to make more than, you know, whatever, because the more risk you incur, the higher chances you have of losing what you've already invested. Two, when it comes to investing, you have to be able to diversify. What does that mean? Asset classes, right? There's real estate funds, there's energy funds, technology funds, overall market funds. You have bonds, foreign markets, global markets, US markets. Do your own research. I'm not telling you this as a certified financial advisor. I'm telling you this as someone who invests himself and has done his research. You have to be able to spread across different sectors to protect your assets. What does that mean? Okay, let's say real estate goes up 1 year 13% and the S&P goes down 8%. That means in a year, real estate increased like it is now and the S&P went down. So what happens? The overall loss is mitigated by that diversification. Three, when you're investing, you have to be able to continually put more money, right? Dollar cost averaging is a very intelligent strategy because instead of trying to time the market, you're just adding at monthly payments. So maybe the stock market's high or maybe it's low, but you're continuing to add, and that's the easiest way to protect against that risk because you're hedging against different time periods and you're not going all in right before maybe the market crashes. Okay, now to end this off, what you have to understand on the investing part is that, again, take away the emotions, diversify your asset classes, and lastly, make sure you're periodically investing. Okay, let's talk about finances real quick. What's the financial strategy to get where you are now to a better place? First off, let's talk about credit. Credit is king. If you don't have good credit and you do not have the money to fund things and you need to take on debt, you are going to pay multitudes more money than the guy with good credit. The guy with good credit will have lower interest rates, more funding available, more opportunities, better partners, banks. Whoever's loaning the money usually is higher status, more rewards. You'll end up paying so much more of interest because the guy with 750 credit could maybe get an interest rate on a car for, let's say, 2.6%. Let's say the guy who has a 500 credit score, he's getting an interest rate of, let's say, 4 5%, and that's on the low end. Usually 500 would get you worse. Over the lifetime, you're paying thousands, if not tens of thousands more over a loan. Furthermore, that you might even get that loan. Okay, now you're asking, how do I increase credit? Simple. Credit utilization. How much money do you have available, and how much of that money available are you spending? Available credit's one of the other factors, and that's how much money you have available to borrow at any given time. The biggest one, and the one that most people struggle with, is on-time payments. You have to be able to make at least the minimum payment for every single credit card or loan by the due date. Otherwise, that's 35% of your score. You get hit with that. That stays on your record for 2 years. So that's the worst one to recover. So at least make sure you're paying on time. Amount of credits, line of credits, types of credits. Do you just have credit cards? Do you have credit cards and mortgage, student loans, car loans? What kind of credit do you have available? How many accounts? Okay, you have one account, so you only are trusted by one bank. You have five accounts. Okay, maybe a lot of banks trust you. Lifetime of credit. Okay, you've had credit for 10 years. Okay, you've been paying back for 10 years. That's pretty good. You've had credit for 2 months and you want a car loan. Yeah, I don't know. That's a little risky. All right, the higher credit means that they're assessing that you're more likely and able to pay back that debt. Now, personally, I use credit cards for these reasons. Zero liability. Someone makes a purchase with my card and I didn't do it, I call the credit card company. Hey, I didn't make this purchase. Boom. I'm not responsible for a penny that was spent. Debit cards, they might hit you with a fee. It might be a few days because the money will leave your account and now the bank has to try to get it back and they might charge you for it. Credit cards, rewards, perks, travel perks, all these different things. When you get those perks, usually you can upgrade your flights, your hotels for a very low cost on top of nice insurance for rental cars, canceled flights, cancellation fees, even products. Sometimes you can get like double the warranty. And lastly is the cashback, right? Rewards. If I spend $1,000 and get 2% cashback, I get $20, you know, $20 that I wouldn't have had. So those are the benefits. And then on the flip side, you don't want to be paying interest. So what I do, automatic payments. Every single month, whatever the entire balance, not the minimum, but the entire balance of my card is, paid off in full, gone. I don't have to worry about it. And the reason that works is because they don't charge interest unless you have a carrying balance. So you have a balance that posts after a month. And then it says, okay, you have $470 due. Minimum payment's $40. So you can pay that, but then the rest of the money gets charged interest and interest until you pay it off. If you pay it in full, there's no interest to be charged. So you can really be smart about it. And they call these, credit card companies call these deadbeats because they lose money off these kinds of people. But that's kind of the kind of person you want to be. So you got to be smart with it. And lastly, you have to be able to really budget aside and start putting away for more long-term gains. Because the more you invest, the more that's going to grow. And then the more you can get back from it. You know, I know people who've retired with a massive retirement portfolio in terms of investments, and they just have dividend stocks. Now, dividends just an amount of money per share of a company, that's a stock, right, that they pay you quarterly, for example. So let's say you own 10 shares of Coca-Cola, and they pay $3 for every share every quarter. So they're making $30 from 10 shares of Coca-Cola every quarter. But of course, that's on a bigger scale. So if now you're talking 100 shares, that's $300. 1,000 shares, that's $3,000. And it scales up from there, again, if they're diversified. So with finances and investing, you have to look, okay, how do I not blow a bunch of money unnecessarily, such as interest, such as high fees, and how do you make that money instead work for you? That's going to do it for me today, guys. I hope you all enjoyed. As always, chase excellence, chase a better you, and chase a you from tomorrow. Thank you for listening to today's episode on the Gentleman's Atlas podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and share this episode. Reach out to us at www.thegentlemansatlas.com and tell us what you'd like to see next. Your support is greatly appreciated, and see you in the next episode.